Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Amen.
As someone said, back from the dead. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. Why don't you take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We'll read the first 14 verses. You read the first, I'll read the second, and so on through verse 14. Getting old and forgetful, that's why I need 3 pages of notes. Let me see if I can remember anything to go along with them. All right. I'll read the first then. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect.
For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins.
But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure.
Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.
Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word which is so clear and sets your standards so clear. And Lord, we thank you for a great salvation, something that we could not have thought of.
Amen.
But God, your love and your compassion, your wisdom have brought it about and given it to us. We
Amen.
Thank you. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I pray that you'd touch any heart and life in here with your Holy Spirit. Move us to get into the middle of your will. Or if we're lost somewhere in here, we'd come to repent and be saved. Give me freedom, Lord. And bless this meeting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've thought about it many, many, many times. Why I got saved. I believed in hell. I believed in heaven. My family didn't go to church to all the meetings like I've been going to for 60-something years. We went to Sunday school and Sunday morning, and then we didn't go back at night after they moved to the city. They never did get over being country people. They never thought they were sophisticated and whatever. They were just country people. But you know, there was a Bible in the house. And I was told, as I grew up, that the Bible was the Word of God. And I believe that. That's what I believe. The Bible was the Word of God. And then also, I was taught there was a heaven and a hell. And I believe this was the Word of God, And there was a future out there somewhere that could be really good or really bad. And I was taught a lot about what sin was. My folks were plain, simple country people. And they didn't do a lot of things that was done and done today and whatever. When I heard my friend died on my truck and my run, I thought, what if that were me? Where would I go? Would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? And yes, I'm not as bad as some of the people I even worked with. I'm not as bad as some of my friends, but I was worse than others of them. And you begin to wonder about these things, you know. Well, those two doctrines, this Bible is the truth. I didn't know anything about new Bibles and other things like that. It hadn't come across me. It hadn't touched me. It wasn't anything I had to deal with. I was just looking at an old King James Bible. And my family said, it tells the truth. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, because I believed that, then I believed in God, and I had some of the teaching in school about evolution and whatever, not much at my time, but I never could believe it. It didn't make any sense to me. You look out here and there's a bird, there's got to be a bird creator. You look out here and there's a world, there's got to be a world creator. I could not believe anything as intricate as a human being just came from nothing and chance. Didn't make sense to me, so I completely ignored it all the way down the line. But I come to the place, here's death. I thought I was 6 foot tall, 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know, just the idea of a young kid. But I realized there that young people could die. And I had the position of, what about me? What if that had been me? It was my truck, it was my call, but because of circumstances, it was given to another driver. And that truck blew up on him. He lived 11 days here in Brooks. Took his eyelids off, took his ears off. He was in bad, bad shape. Had my daddy come out and go out to the hospital and visit with him. And he died after 11 days. That had a profound effect on my thinking. And then I had a special singer you had this morning. He was a little 8-pound baby. And I had a neighbor that had just gotten saved. Not 2 months before. He came over one time and said, can I bring somebody out to your house? And I said, sure. I didn't mind. In fact, I like to argue. I still like to argue some, as you might understand. Well, he brought a country preacher. And I understood him very well. And we studied and argued from 7 o'clock at night till about 11 o'clock. And I knew he was coming back. He was one of those kind of preachers. He was going to come back. So I read the book of Genesis after he left. And then I began to read the Bible. And something about this Bible, just absolutely terrific. It got my attention. And the more you read this book and you read these verses, like some of these that we just read, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. How do you get to be perfect? If these sacrifices that the Jews were doing at the tabernacles won't make you perfect, how do you get to be perfect? Well, it says the law is a shadow. I simply cannot. This reason why I picked this chapter 10, it just caught my attention about 2 weeks ago, and I kept being drawn back to it. as a place where God's word sets you some standards, gives you a line to follow and said, here's the truth. And if this be true, then this cannot be true. Tremendous chapter. If I mess up preaching it, you go home and read it over and over and over again for about a month. Look what it says in chapter 10, verse 1. Look at it just carefully. Say, this is the word of God. That's my point of faith. This is the word of God. Amen. Okay, what does it say? What can I come back clearly from this? Can I have something from here that I can tell you? Can I have something from here that I can believe and get some comfort in my heart? It says, the law having a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now you notice, he says perfect, not good, not better. God's not looking for the best.
Right.
He's not looking for your best. He demands perfection.
That's true.
And the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image, it's not the real thing. The law is an explanation. As you see, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and so on and so forth. As you go down the Ten Commandments, they're but a shadow of good things to come. In fact, look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You ever hear that? It's in the New Testament. Jesus said it. And to me, it's a much greater law than the law itself. Instead of thou shalt not, here's something. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Have you ever done that? Probably not. We got a lot of love for ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah. Got a lot of love for our kids. We got a lot of love for our new car. We got a lot of love for our dog. We got a lot of love for all sorts of things. How can I ever concentrate all my love? But if I don't, then I fall short of the law. You understand what I'm saying? If I don't love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul and all my might, I'm found guilty. And that's in the Old Testament. Jesus just quoted it in the New Testament, in the New Testament scriptures, Matthew and Luke, I think. Think about that for a minute. Notice things, the law having a shadow of good things, but not the very image of the thing. So the law is something to teach you, what does this love mean? If I love my brother, I don't commit adultery with his wife. I don't steal from him. I don't lie about him. I don't hurt him in any way. So love is the answer to the whole thing. But look what he says. Can never. If the law is just a shadow of good things to come, not the very image, it can never make the people that go the law perfect. No matter how you try to fulfill that law, you cannot make it perfect. Okay, now that's something. Look at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin? But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins.
Right.
Now, look at verse 4. Is the Bible the Word of God? You can trust it, can't you? If you can understand it. Now, I admit that a lot of people don't understand it, and there's some things about it I don't understand at this late date. I used to think I was going to ask God about a few of those things. I don't think I will. I think I'll do what John did in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, just fall down speechless at his feet. But look at verse 4 now. Okay, now he's making a conclusion. For it is not possible. He doesn't leave any out there. There's no percentage. No, it is not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Okay. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast thou prepared me. He's talking about Jesus. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. And here it is. This is Jesus. Then said he, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, you know what this whole book's talking about? Sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice establishing a perfect righteousness. And that without that perfect righteousness, you cannot please God. Then said, lo, I come in the volume of the books written of me to do thy will, O God. And above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, this is Jesus. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first what? Testament. The law. Amen. You don't keep the law to get saved today. And Christians that are going back to try to establish the law have just missed the point altogether. That he may establish the second what? Testament. The New Testament. Jesus Christ comes to fulfill the first testament, a life lived in perfect righteousness, to establish the New Testament, which would be his death upon the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of the world. So you got a New Testament there, and that's the testament by Jesus Christ himself. Something things are so clear. You need perfection. You can't get perfection by you trying to do the law, because you know every time you read it, you broke some of it. I never can read it and come out of it without a guilty conscience. And same way, whenever I talk about loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I think how much I love myself, how much I love my wife and my kids and my grandkids and great-grandkids, and no telling what else. How much I love the guns I've had in my life and the boats that I've had in my life and doing a lot of things in my life. You're the same as me. You don't have time. You don't have strength to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. What does that leave you? Guilty.
Yeah. Amen.
Guilty.
Amen.
I can't read it without that. Now, look at verse 10. He talked about the New Testament. That's what he's talking about in verse 9. Lo, and I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. It's talking about the New Testament. By the which will, this will up here, we are sanctified. That means being made a saint through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There are people today that are sacrificing Christ. And that's exactly what they teach. But here in this thing we call the Bible, the Word of God, it says we're sanctified not by the works we've done, but by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
He's never going to be sacrificed again. No matter what you do and you have to repent of your sin, he doesn't have to go and be sacrificed again. He's already made one perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
And that stands for all. That Amen. I get traded my filthy rags.
Thank you, Lord.
For the perfection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You as a born-again Christian, you don't walk into the presence of God in your own. You walk into the presence of God as his son.
Amen.
Your righteousness is Christ's righteousness that he implies and imparts to you. And that's our only hope and our only righteousness that we can brag on at all. We can't brag on how much we've preached or how much we've given or how many people we've won. Man, we brag on Jesus Christ and we walk into the presence of God as sons.
Right.
Look how clear it is. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first testament, that he may establish the second, the body of Jesus Christ being offered for sin once for all, never to be repeated.
Amen.
He's not coming back for any new generation. Now look at verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes these same sacrifices. Now what sort of a conclusion did he come to? Which can never take away sin. I don't care how many sacrifices they offer. I don't care how many prayers they pray. They cannot take away sins. The New Testament, the death of Christ in his body as the perfect example, that's the only thing that takes away sin. Being a church member, going to Sunday school all the time, reading your Bible, praying, going out witnessing, passing out tracts, knocking on doors, it's not going to get you anything. Not a thing as far as your salvation is concerned. Yes, God understands what you're doing. Praise God for that. And I'm thankful that we get a chance to do something like that. But it says here, it's by the body of Jesus Christ. That's how we're made saints. Once for all. And every priest, an awful lot of priests, even today, awful lot of priests standing daily offering the same sacrifices. And look, it never can take away sins. Now look at verse 12. Again, so clear, so beautiful. How could anybody miss it? This man, Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He's not still working. His work's done. It's finished. He's now our interceding high priest in the courts of heaven. Look, if you will, at verse 14. More explanation, more clarity. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. You're perfect.
Amen.
Forever.
Thanks, Lord. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Before God. Some of you stand in awe of God so much that you trembling almost don't want to come into his presence and you want to apologize 5 or 10 times. You're coming in as Jesus Christ. You're coming in as his son. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, right in this same book, boldness. Boldness. You don't have to come in like you were coming to an Eastern king. Boldness. The boldness I had with my own dad. Now, I don't know what your relationship was with your dad, but I was very clear. I was his son. I could come in at any time, and no matter what happened out in life, I could come back. Well, that's the way I feel we ought to be with Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness put to our account. How can we can go into the presence of Almighty God and ask him as a son, as a daughter? Wow. Now, he said, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You're perfect before God. No, I'm not talking about your daily thing. Yes, you need to take care of your problem. Don't get so backslidden and think you won't pay for it. You will. But you ought to have a boldness to walk into the Almighty God that you cannot even imagine because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. And he said he's perfected them forever. Even with the sins you commit and the vagaries of the temptations of your mind, You stand in the righteousness of Christ, and that's a gift.
Amen.
That's a gift. What are you hoping in? That you'll be good enough? You're missing the point. You're already good enough. Because your account has been laid on Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been laid on you.
Amen.
When the account comes up about the righteousness or the sainthood of you, it's Jesus that they see.
Amen.
And it's yours. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a gift. The idea of good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, I thought about that a few times in my life. And most people really sort of think that way. You really deserve hell. Oh, she really deserves heaven. Then not a single one of you deserves heaven. Not in your own right. I don't deserve heaven. I had a boy with spinal meningitis. And he was dumb, blind, couldn't walk. We couldn't understand him. We're in the hospital. They tell us there's no remedy for it. It'll just come out one way or the other. When we got down to pray, I didn't say, Lord, I've been preaching the gospel. Lord, I quit drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I said, Lord, I don't deserve to have a boy whole any more than anybody else. But I'm asking for your mercy. I didn't have anything to brag on. What if I did do something? Well, he'd already saved my soul, changed my life, fixed my mind up, and made me accepted in the beloved, and I'm a saint, and I didn't have to do what Mother Teresa did. And anybody else. It was a gift. And that's what this chapter, these first 14 verses, Hebrews is a tremendous book, by the way. There is no more offering for sin. What Jesus Christ did when he made that New Testament, that is the offering for sin. If you want an effective offering, that's the only one you can go
to.
That's right. There is no other offering out there. Oh, if you knock on 100 doors a day. No, no, no. You can knock on 100 doors a day and still go to hell. No more offering for sin. God writes these things in your heart. Why do you think you have such conviction about things? Because God has written the righteousness of him in your heart. And that's where you go. Now look at verse 18, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. You can't pay back sin. What you have is a perfect righteousness that you can trust. But that's the only thing. Okay, verse 19. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what the holiest is? It's that inside room in the tabernacle where only the high priest went one day a year with the sacrificial blood. He said right there, you enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have an entrance right into the presence of God Almighty. Wow. You may not know what that is, but that's something special.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And he says, by new, verse 20. This is not the old way. This is not the old way. Keep the law and go to heaven. Good people go to heaven. Bad people go to hell. That's not this here. It's a new and a living way. It's not the same. It's a new way because it's by the blood of Jesus. It's a living way because it's through Christ and he never dies. He lives forever.
Amen.
He has eternal life as God. It's a new way. It's a living way. And that's what he bought us with his life, with his sacrifice. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast. Verse 24. Let us consider one another. Here's what you can do. Let's draw near to God. That's what you need. You need to draw near to God. You need to get real close contact with God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let's draw near. Draw near to God. Instead of running away from Him, instead of ignoring Him, why don't you draw near to Him? How can you draw near? Read your Bible. Come to church. Go out and serve God. Invite other people to come. Try to live that life of love. It's a pretty hard life to live. If you're talking about love in your mind, how you love your kids, do you love anybody else like that? How do you love your wife or your husband? You love anybody else like that? Love is much more difficult than law. Much higher grade, much higher standard. Sure. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, salvation is by faith. Believing this Bible is the answer to everything. That's by faith. What is faith? Believing. What is your faith? Everybody's got a faith. Depends on what they believe. I've got a faith. This Bible is the Word of God. And that I can trust what it says. And I've been doing it for 61 years when I committed myself to it. And I haven't found a disappointment in it yet. Now let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. When I got saved, some of the buddies out there, I was talking to the men I worked with. Man, I just got saved. I just called on Christ and my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. And they said, give him a couple of weeks. He got a bad dose of religion. Any of you ever had that said about you? He got a bad dose of religion. He's the same. He's not different anyway. Well, you know something? That was over 61 years ago. I was told, when I first decided to have a meeting around the Lord's table every Sunday night, a worship service. I don't consider us worshiping right now. I consider preaching and teaching, but I don't consider it worship. Jesus didn't say, remember my birthday. You know what he did say? He said, remember my death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
And I was told by good, sweet Christian people, it will become not special. Well, after all these years, it's still special to me.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing for me each week. You know something? We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Your family ought to know you're consistent. Your friends and the people you work with ought to know you're consistent. Your husband or your wife ought to know you're consistent. That's holding fast the profession of your faith. And then he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What are we doing coming to church? Well, we're coming to church because somebody might say something to help us live a little better. Somebody might say something that would just lift our spirits for a day. Somebody might teach us some truth. I remember one time there was a person that I didn't really appreciate when I saw them stand up, and I was sort of groaning. Have you ever groaned in the open meeting thinking, oh, no, no, please, no? I did that. This person stood up, and I thought, oh, no. I didn't say a word. I didn't tell anybody anything. But in my mind, I'm saying, this is just going to be boring and long. But I was wrong. I got a blessing from that man that night. And then I had to apologize to the Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Yes, God can move through anybody to move upon you. Amen. Don't belittle people because they don't do anything just the way you do it. Amen. They just might be speaking with the voice of God.
That's true.
And I've had it happen to me. And since that time, many, 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 many times. But we're trying to get better, get our conscience better. We're trying to live a profession of faith that bring credit to the Lord Jesus Christ and let make somebody else want to follow him. But we're going to consider one another to provoke unto love and good work. Hey, and then here's another one, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as a manner of some is. You're saved, you ought to be with saved people. You ought to come to the meeting. You ought to come to the meetings in the morning. You ought to come to the meetings at night. You ought to make up time to come on during the week. Your job isn't worth more than your spiritual attitude.
Amen.
It's where it is.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look at verse 31. Billy was teaching about this in Sunday school, hell. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When I was going to high school, we had a vice principal. Name was Gott, G-O-T-T. And he had a paddle like a big baseball bat that had been sewn in two and with holes drilled in it. And when he spanked you, he took you down to the basement. And if you went to the basement with God, you knew you were gotten. You know something? It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It really is. Sometimes it's a fearful hand to pay for your sins right down here. We get away with a lot of them, don't we? Seems like God gives us space, and gives us space. And you think, is God ever going to collect? Well, probably your sins will get collected on a good bit down here. But he said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What John did in Revelation 1 when he saw the glorified Christ is what you're going to do when you see God. All of your resistance, all of your pride, all of your smart aleck attitude, all of your self-justification is going to go right out the door. You're not going to be able to stand in the presence of this God. Now, look at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, you get discouraged, you get depressed. Things aren't going your way, and it's taken such a long, long time, it seems like. And you wonder, Lord, I just got to get out of this. I just can't stand this any longer. Yes, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. He said, don't cast away your confidence. That's your faith. If you have faith, you got confidence. Or you don't have faith. You have doubt. You have fear. Well, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It's got great recompense of reward. I really believe this. How about all these things? These are some definite statements in this one chapter that you could just build your faith on. And here's what he said. Have great recompense of reward. Being faithful to God may not look like he wins down here. Lots of times it does not win down here. Many of the most faithful people God has ever had have had their heads cut off and been turned into the authorities by their own children. All sorts of horrible, horrible things. Some of them just picked up and put in jail. Never accused of anything, just left there 20, 30 years to rot. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's terrible. It makes you shiver. Make you thank God for being in America. Make you thank God that you're in the Bible Belt of America, where you can have some freedom to confess your Christianity. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to run and have meetings in secret. You don't have to worry about who you witness to, because they might turn you in. Around the world, Christians are doing the will of God and suffering. Well, don't let that ruin your confidence. Stand up for what you believe. It's got a great recompense or reward. I read somewhere in the Bible where Jesus said, when you're up there, if you cuss me before men, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. That's going to be a wonderful day if we did it. Praise the Lord. Amen. It hath great recompense of reward. Do you really think a real good stock market is better than missions? Do you really think you can invest your money better than supporting the work of God with it? Now, we are a generous nation. We got all sorts of charities. In fact, people are getting cheated on charities every day. That mean we shouldn't give? No, I don't think so. Just be a little choosier who you give to. But you ought to give to the preaching of the gospel. Verse 39, believe to the saving of the soul. He said, we, I think he's including all of us that are Christian, we believe to the saving of the soul, we don't draw back. Now, sometimes when you give your testimony, you're going to get laughed at, made fun of, and you won't be able to stand up and answer for some of the things that you've been taught. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Cast not away your confidence. The very last line in verse 39, believe to the saving of the soul. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. There's a lot of people have been given the, and they've either made fun or they've made light, or they've decided the cost is too much, and they draw back under perdition. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. And I believe Jesus Christ makes the difference between the two. With Christ, I don't care how you are. With Christ, you've got salvation and forgiveness. Amen. And eternity. Without Christ, on your own, or with all the work you can do, with all the energy that you can raise up, you got nothing. Draw back unto perdition. There's a few things in here. Where Christ is, where Christ's righteousness is, there's no more offering for sin. Are you trusting your being good? Are you trusting your church membership? Are you trusting anything other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ? If you are, I'd say repent of that today. Your only hope is in the gift that God gives. Nothing else. No, you can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It is a completed, perfect righteousness. And it's the only offering for sin that God will accept.
Amen. That's true.
And if you have it, my brother, my sister, my young person, you're dressed in Christ's righteousness. There's no fault. There's no place that it does not fulfill. And it's all a gift. You never did deserve it. You never will deserve it. And throughout eternity, you'll be thanking God that he gave you such a wonderful gift. And because he's given you that gift, why don't you love him? Why don't you honor him? Why don't you praise him? Because he gave you a wonderful, wonderful gift. The Bible says Jesus Christ died in your place. He paid the debt for your sin.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the New Testament. It's the new and living way. It's not by the law. Don't go back under the law. Don't try to fulfill the law. Don't even try to live loving the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul for establishing a righteousness. That's just showing you what's right. What you do is trust what Christ has done and count on him. And if you don't make it that way, nobody's going to make it. You may be here today and you're not saved. You may be a church member. I was a church member of two different churches before I got saved. Got baptized twice before I got saved. Then I got saved. And the preacher that I was one to the Lord where, he said, get baptized. I said, I'm baptized twice. He said, that don't count. It's after salvation. Baptism is after salvation, not before, not during, not as a part. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, don't trust your own works, your own faithfulness, your own change of life, your own habits. Trust Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
He has by one offering perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the salvation. Well, let's stand and sing, if you can play it, 195. And if you can't, just let us know and we'll give us a key. I'll get Billy to start us off. 195. If you're